Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, May the 19th, and welcome to our commentary. Before we get into our stories of the day, I want to bring up a couple of items from On This Day in History, because I have two podcasts that were recorded about these two events, and I have posted them on my Facebook page. If you follow me on Facebook, I've also posted them on my regular blog, if you follow me over there. But these are two historical podcasts that we did, and I just wanted to invite you to listen to them. The first one is about Jose Martí. Jose Martí is regarded by most Cubans as the father of Cuban independence. As you may remember from your history, Cuba spent most of the second half of the 19th century fighting Spain for its independence. It was a very difficult task because the Spaniards were really determined to keep Cuba as a colony. It was a very costly experience. Many, many Cubans were killed in the battle for independence. And then later in 1898, if you remember from your U.S. history, there was something called Remember the Maine. You know, the Maine was a ship that exploded in Havana Harbor, and that created the reason for the United States and Spain to go to war, and that was the Spanish-American War. From that war came 3 to 4 years of American occupation, and then finally, in 1902, Cuba was granted its independence, 1902. But on this day in 1895, and that's what the podcast is about, on this day in 1895, Jose Martí was killed. He was killed in a struggle with in a little fire shooting, I guess, with the Spanish troops. Jose Martí was a legendary Cuban of that time, and there was a professor at Purdue University, Alfred Lopez, who wrote a book about Jose Martí. It's the only biography of Jose Martí in English, so that's why we got together with Alfred Lopez, Professor Lopez, who wrote the book. My friend Jorge Ponce, who is a Cuban-American of my generation. We both left Cuba as youngsters and grew up in the United States. So we had a great interview. Jorge Ponce joined me for the interview, and we had a great interview with Alfred Lopez, and we learned a great deal about Jose Martí, the man who was born in Cuba in 1853 and then was killed May 19th, 1895. So I invite you to check it out. It's in the my blog as a post, and it's over at the Facebook page, also listed there where it says click to listen. You can listen to it. It's a great interview, I think, one of the best ones we've done. And the information about Jose Martí was absolutely fantastic for me, because I knew the general story of Jose Martí. I mean, growing up in a Cuban home, obviously, I knew the general story. But a lot of the details that Professor Lopez brought out were just fascinating about Jose Martí's life. One of the most interesting things that I learned out of that book was that Jose Martí was the son of Spanish parents. And when you think about it, that's not that unusual. But I didn't know that when I first read the book. So check it out. It's The Life and Times of Jose Martí, and it's a podcast that you can listen to. The other one, the other podcast on this day in history, was about Guadalcanal, you know, the Battle of Guadalcanal in World War II. We did a series of podcasts with Barry Jacobson, who's a military historian, and we did a series of posts about World War II and podcasts about World War II. And this one I thought was one of the best ones that we did. This one is also available in a podcast. You can also go to my Facebook page or to my blog, and you can listen to it. I mean, I know it's two in a day, maybe it's too much to listen to, but if you could maybe save them and listen to one today and one tomorrow, they're really good. I think they're very good, and they will provide you with a lot of information. Barry Jacobson is a great military historian, and he knows a lot about the details of World War II, and that always fascinates me when people have all that information. So check out my two podcasts about Jose Martí and the Battle of Guadalcanal. Now let's talk about some of the current events. And I want to begin in New York. A couple of things about New York. The first one, if you've been following the news, you know that New York tried to use gerrymandering to eliminate a bunch of Republican congressional districts. Now, this is not new. It's been going on forever. The majority party always does that. It tries to, you know, basically draw up or do the district design or whatever you want to call it, the districts, to benefit the majority party. But in New York, the majority Democrats, they went to such a crazy extent to do it. I mean, it was just outrageous. They eliminated like five Republican districts. So the Republicans went to the state courts and they won. The state court said, yes, these maps are outrageous. And they forced a third party to draw the maps. And the consequence of that party is that the Republicans are going to do a lot better than they thought they were going to do. But the real consequence, and this is almost comical, is that some Democrat incumbents are going to have to run against each other. And two of those Democrat incumbents are Jerry Nadler and Carol Maloney, who are now going to have to run against each other in the primary, I guess, or in the primary coming up in New York. So the Democrats thought they were going to play this game of gerrymandering to eliminate Republicans, and it turned out to be completely different. They're going to end up actually eliminating some of their own. Now, gerrymandering has been going on for a long time. I don't have a problem with it because if you're the majority party, you know, that's what you do. But I think in the case of the Democrats in New York, it kind of backfired on them. And now they've got Jerry Nadler. Everybody knows who Jerry Nadler is. He's one of the top Democrats in the House. And Carol Maloney, she's not as well known. But I guess if you're in New York, you know who she is. But those two are now going to have to run against each other. It's kind of interesting how this has completely backfired on the Democrats. Let's talk a little bit about what happened in Buffalo, because the more that I read about this, the more frustrated I get with the way the media is covering the story. And first of all, this young man who did this was obviously mentally unstable, completely mentally unstable, but he obviously had a sign on his forehead saying, please, I'm going to kill people. Stop me, because I'm going to kill people. I mean, all the signs were there, and how these signs were not picked up, it's just absolutely astonishing. On the night, this is a story I just read, on the night before the shooting, I guess this would have been Saturday night, he went into the store and spoke with the manager and said to the manager and a bunch of other employees, why are you guys working in an all-black store? And he got into a few verbal exchanges with some of the people who worked there. Apparently, nobody had the wisdom, if I may say so, of contacting security or the police and saying, hey, there's a real problem here. This young man's a problem. Nobody did that. On top of that, this young man had postings on the internet. I'm not familiar with the website that he was on. It's one of these social media websites. But he was posting things that were very obvious that he wanted to kill people. And yet nobody said anything. His followers didn't say anything. Apparently his parents had no idea that he was doing any of this. Surprises me a little bit that the parents wouldn't know that their son was, you know, crazy like this. I mean, didn't they see the way the son was dressed or his son or their son was dressed or didn't they see that? But anyway, so the more that I follow or learn about this young man who performed this, the more that I've come to the conclusion that what really failed in New York was gun laws and the government of New York. The government of New York or Buffalo really failed its citizens because it failed to protect them. Because this young man was obvious to anybody watching was a danger. And why he was never put on some kind of a list, why he was never followed, why he was allowed to go in and buy a gun, that is beyond me. I cannot understand that. I simply cannot understand that. And the families of the, unfortunately, the people who were killed there, the 11 or 12 people who were killed, they should sue the state of New York for their total, complete recklessness in protecting them, because this was a complete failure here of the state of New York. I know the Democrats are trying to change the conversation into white supremacy and all this kind of stuff. No. Okay, there is white supremacy. Nobody denies that. But that's not what killed. That's not what did this. What did this was a failure on the part of the state government of New York to protect its citizens. This young man should have never been out on his own. This young man should have never been able to buy a gun. That's a failure of the state government. That is a failure of the state government. And again, as I say, they ought to do a class action lawsuit against the government and say, all these gun laws that the Democrats are always talking about, these gun laws, well, they're not protecting anybody if somebody can do what this young man did in New York. Last but not least, the Durham trial or investigation is now in the courtroom. And it's going to be slow. So, you know, I know many people have very high expectations of this investigation. And I do too. I do too. I think this investigation is eventually going to be very successful in proving that the Clinton campaign used a fake document to obtain a warrant to spy on Donald Trump, then candidate Donald Trump. They wanted to use this information, as I understand, as a October surprise against Donald Trump in 2016. And I think Durham has put together a case. Now, I have not seen the information. Nobody really has. But, you know, there's a couple of people who are pretty good at this. And one of them is a gentleman by the name of Brett Tolman, T-O-L-L-M-A-N. And you see him from time to time on Fox News. He also writes on his own. He has his own website and he has his own Twitter account. It's one of the best Twitter accounts out there. If you want to follow somebody who is real and knows what he's talking about, not like the other stuff in Twitter, which is primarily fake and garbage, but this guy knows what he's talking about. And he believes very strongly that Durham, the chief investigator Durham, has a case and that he's going to win the case. And whether that happens or not, I don't know. And the other thing I'm telling you is this is not going to happen overnight. This is not going to be next week or next month. But I think this is my prediction. Okay, this is completely my prediction based on what I'm seeing. I think you will see over the next 3 to 4 months, people will start cutting deals with Durham. They'll say, okay, I'll tell you this and I'll tell you that if you take it easy on me. And, you know, people do that all the time when they're having trials. You negotiate your situation. And I think as that begins to happen, the columns are going to start dropping. And we're going to get through the truth of this. I sincerely believe that the Clinton campaign, whether Hillary Clinton knew or this or not, I don't know. I don't know. There's a lot of stupid things that happen in a campaign that the candidate doesn't necessarily know. Watergate is the best example. There's no evidence that Richard Nixon knew of Watergate, for example. It was done by his subordinates. So I don't know if Hillary Clinton knew, but obviously people in her campaign did. And they were trying to nail Trump by using a fake document going to the FISA court to get a warrant. And this is all going to blow up in their face. I'm convinced of that. But it's going to take time. It's going to take time. So don't expect this right away. But I do believe sincerely that Durham is going to prove that eventually, but it's going to take time because this is a complicated case. That's all I can tell you. It's going to take time, but just be patient. But I do believe he's going in the right direction. Thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. And don't forget about my two podcasts that you can listen to on this blog and on my Facebook page, the one about World War II and the one about Jose Marti. I think you're going to enjoy them a lot. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you later.